Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, it's getting to be a habit here in America. The combination of popular cable TV hosts, the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and crowds of happy-looking people who insist that they're mad as hell and intent on restoring something. Estimates of 250,000 people attended this time the rally with Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert of Comedy Central. They were on the Mall, 250,000, a sizable crowd. And in that crowd, Todd Zwillick and Celeste Headlee, Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick and co-host Celeste Headlee, both covering the event. What were your impressions?
First of all, the crowd was enormous. I mean, if you looked at the National Mall, it was impossible to kind of estimate the size of the crowd. I pity those who were trying to, because there were so many people who simply gave up because you couldn't hear. So there were constantly people leaving at the time that others were coming. But the other thing that struck me, and I blogged about this, was the fact that I can't describe the crowd. It's just impossible. The range of ages, the range of actually political views. And when I went around asking people what they cared about, their thoughts on what should be the priorities for Congress were all over the map. But one thing was for sure, they felt like the media coverage of politics had become too rancorous. Here's Allison Marshall from Philadelphia.
We came because we felt like Jon Stewart was speaking our language. There does need to be a return to rationality, and we have been missing the mark in our politics, and I like the idea of people from various sectors coming together to talk about that idea.
But aside from having cable subscriptions all together, I mean, what does the diversity represent, do you think?
Well, these are all committed voters, and that's an amazing. When you have that larger group of people who actually vote, many of them already had vote, if they are to be believed, and there's no reason not to. These are people who actually are going to the polls, and they're certainly not the apathetic crowd that many people think of. I want to play this clip from a guy from New Zealand. This is Aaron Baker. He was planning to come to the U.S. anyway, and he came to the U.S. from New Zealand a day early so he could attend this rally. Here's what he said.
From a distance, you get the sense that America is becoming very polarized and you've got quite radical extremes. And I thought this sort of spoke to a middle ground that made a lot of sense.
He said that for people in his country, at least, who are afraid of what's going on in America, this made him feel relieved and relaxed.
Although a New Zealander is not necessarily going to change things on Tuesday. Todd, how do you estimate the significance of this politically in advance of the most expensive midterm election in U.S. history?
I'm not really sure, John. You know, this was I detected mostly a pro-democratic crowd, maybe a more left of center crowd. That won't be a surprise to most people. Plenty of criticism of Republicans, the Tea Party, Sarah Palin and Fox News, you know, on the humorous signs and the costumes and stuff. Like Celeste said, most of the people I spoke to had already voted or were already committed voters, said that they had voted in most elections that they were eligible for. So I don't know how many minds were changed out there. I talked to one or two people who said they were changing from R to D in this election, but most people said they weren't. But, you know, a lot of humorous criticism of Sarah Palin and Fox News. Here's Mike Rayford explaining why he was out there. He's a 60-year-old salesman recently laid off who had some humorous signs kind of making fun of the Tea Party, and I asked him why.
They talk in bumper stickers and don't really understand what they're saying. They talk about protecting the Constitution and spend the next 2 hours tearing it apart. Just need a little more education and forget the bumper sticker talk. It's not sound bites.
And the crowd definitely skewed younger, I think. I agree with Celeste. There were people from all over the demographic map, retirees like Mike Rayford, a lot of young people, of course, working people, students. And I ran into a lot of Muslims. There were a lot of Muslim Americans out there. This is one woman, Mona Malik from Great Falls, Virginia, was there with her family. She had her kids carrying cute little signs saying, "Don't fear me, I'm a Muslim American," cute little four-year-old carrying the sign. And I asked her why she and her sisters came out to the rally.
I think a lot of people, especially in the media, are promoting fearing Muslims and creating this very much a sense of tension and fear in the society towards Muslims. We feel like it's a false sense of alarm and fear that's being promoted.
Yeah. Now, John, it wasn't just Muslims and retirees and
right,
students.
Right.
But I got to say,
Democrats with cable subscriptions again.
True.
That's what I'm hearing.
Well,
but go ahead. What else did you see?
I saw a lot of robots. A lot of Battlestar Galactica fans. I counted no less than 13 Waldos.
Saw superheroes, yeah.
A lot of superheroes, no less than 13 Waldos. And this fellow, Tyron Gosry, he's a law student, explained to me what his impression of the crowd was.
A lot of nerds. You walk around, a lot of nerds, a lot of people in crazy costumes, a lot of people, a lot of students, a lot of Star Wars references. That's the generation. It's that 80s babies. If you really think about Jon Stewart, he's basically the king of the nerds. He's actually a really smart, nerdy guy who kind of made it popular. So he's a lot more Michael Cera than he is Brad Pitt.
All right, so it was the day before Halloween. We should note that. But Todd, you know, we're going to get this online at thetakeaway.org. How do you explain the fact that we sent two people to the Jon Stewart rally and had nobody at Glenn Beck's?
Oh, actually, that's a great question. John, that's a really good question.
In a sense that we're inflaming the media's sense that there's some media that are anti-Muslim, there are other media that are on another side of the fence. There's this sort of divisiveness within the media that seems to be what all these rallies are about.
Yeah, I think there is a divisiveness, and a lot of people, even though they said they were frustrated with that divisiveness, were clearly on one side of it. Since you asked, John, I will say that I was not in town for the Glenn Beck rally.
I
was in New York. No, I know, but it's worth asking, though. It's an excellent question to ask. If we covered one, why not the other as a legitimate media organization? But that's why the Washington correspondent wasn't there.
So historically, Celeste, is this historically significant in and of itself? The New York Times said it was a rally like no other, or do we have to take it in concert with the other rallies that have taken place this year?
Yeah, I mean, I believe the New York Times described it as a craving to be heard and a frustration with lack of leadership. And they also said that it was a frustration with the Democratic Party by mostly liberal-leaning Democrats, which I'm certainly not the person to judge what most of the people were politically or not. But I think that it is probably time to stop eschewing or stop kind of dismissing this crowd simply because they're not dominating the media's agenda.
Well, Todd Zwillick is on his way to the train station to get up here to New York to be part of our election coverage. Go to thetakeaway.org. The rallies are over. The election coverage begins tomorrow. Todd, we'll see you up here in New York.
See you, John.